Okay, so we're continuing with Iran. But I just wanted to just to review what we did last time, because it's building on that. You were here or not?
No.
Oh,
yes. Ellie Feder at Gmail.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, because also Matt now is asking me a question about, I guess about definition and svara. Like, what's the difference between definitions and svaras? And if there's a difference, and how it plays out here. So, so basically, again, the Ran, just a quickly review. So the Ran said, boiled down to, again, the factual question was, is do you say, can you say le? God commanded us to do this. If you have an institution where you're commanded, like Mila, father's commanded, but he can use a shliach. Give him a vest. Oh, and, in the middle. So we're jumping around. Yeah, in the middle of the Ran. It's Daf Gimel Amud Beis in the Ran, Daf Erev.
Here it's five.
We're not really doing it inside the Gimel Amud Beis in Daf Erev.
Perek Sheni or Rishon?
Page.
Rishon.
Oh, Rishon. Okay. So, on this tape, isn't it? Okay, fine. So again, reviewing. So basically, the question was, could you say in the Ran? Just to review, the question is, could you say le? You say that God commanded us to, if it's something which you were commanded in, but you could use a shliach, so like the father by Mila. So the father was commanded to Mila, but he can use a shliach. So one shita says, the first position says, says yeah, because you were commanded. And the second position says, no, because since you could use a shliach, so therefore you can't say it. Okay, therefore you can't say it.
Did you're commanded, you mean the guy that sent you the shliach?
Yes, the father. Well, the father himself. The father himself does it. Right? I just find the kind of thumb. Right, yeah. Yeah, so that's what it says. He says, one side says that since the Chiyav, Kim the Chiyav Aleh Ramya, Afi Shev Shalei Patim, and the Acher Matzim Alvar. So since you are obligated, the Chiyav falls on you, the father, so therefore even though you can use a Shliach, he could still say Le. Whereas the other person says, no, that since you can use a Shliach, so therefore it's not right to say Le. Right. Okay, fine. So that's the question basically. Could you say le commanded us to do this if you are commanded but you can use a shliach? Definitely if you're commanded and you can't use a shliach, you can say le. Definitely if you're like the Moel, if you or someone else was commanded and you're the shliach, you definitely can't say le, you're gonna have to say al. But if you were commanded but you can use a shliach, then what's the deal? So we said is, and again, I'm going a little less, slower than we did last time, just to give a definition first and then to give a go further in it. But the question is le means that you are commanded. Okay, now the thing is that in this mitzvah of Mila, for instance, in a certain sense you were commanded, in another sense you weren't commanded. Which means that if you study the mitzvah of Mila, in the abstract, the institution of Mila was chal upon you, was commanded to you, the father. Right? Like the Moel can't say, vis-a-vis the institution of Mila, the Moel can't say that I was commanded. But the father could say I was commanded. See, well, the command of Mila was the father. So insofar as the institution itself, he could say le, because the mitzvah is a chiv, the mitzvah is commanded to him. Okay, but, so that's in the framework of the mitzvah itself, he was commanded. He was commanded to do Mila. Now, the fact that he's a shliach is like a side point. Okay, fine, he's a shliach. But bottom line, he was commanded to do Mila. That's just the halachic technicality that when you're commanded to do Mila, it's the type of mitzvah that he's a shliach for. But in terms of the mitzvah itself, you were commanded. Okay, you were commanded to do Mila. But if you look at, that's if you look in the framework of the mitzvah itself. But if you look in terms of like the practical halachic system, practically, did the Torah say you have to do Mila? No, it didn't say that. It said, I have to make sure that Mila gets done. It did say, I have to do Mila, but since there is shlichos, since I could use a shliach, I could use a messenger, in terms of the kedusha of the mitzvah, the practical impact, import of the mitzvah is, not that I have to do Mila, but I have to make sure Mila gets done. Okay, even though technically that's not the mitzvah is to do Mila, and then a super added mechanism of shlichos allows you to use someone else to do it. And then it's defined as if you did it. So conceptually, the mitzvah is for you to do Mila. But practically speaking, it's not a mitzvah for you to do Mila. It's to make sure it gets done. Make sure it gets done. So the question is like, so in terms of, do you say le is only when you are obligated to do it? Does that go in terms of the abstract institution itself, or it goes into the bottom line practical? Practically, you're commanded to do it. That's the first, that would be just like, defining what's the question without going further. Okay? Okay, that's just like the first step. Because that's what he's arguing. The one he's saying is you are commanded, the other he's not commanded. So in terms of the mitzvah itself, you are commanded. But practically speaking, you aren't commanded because the practical takes into account the mitzvah principle of shlucho, of agency, and you can use an agent, and therefore you aren't commanded. Someone else could do it. Question? Client? Okay. So that's the first step, but it's somehow unsatisfying, because why would you go? I mean, it's not bad, but you could say, so why should you go? Why should you look at whether you were commanded in the abstract or in the institution, or do you just go practically? So he said maybe you go further than that. So I'd say the first step is just like defining the two different ways of what the lay is on. That means you were commanded. Or defined, there's two ideas. Commanded you mean in terms of the institution or in terms of the whole halachic system practically, you know. But it's not satisfying. I say, and oftentimes the definition, you define the thing and you're giving like two sides, but there's certain arbitrariness to it. Like, what's that contingent upon? Okay, so I think it's a good first step. Sometimes, in lesson, we kind of skipped it over. I mean, I think it was implicit in what we said, but we didn't. Sometimes you could just go further, you know, you could skip that step, which I don't think is bad, but, you know, it's sometimes good to spell out the step. It's a, you know, I jumped the step. So to go further, we said, is that the question is, what is the Shavahan? Okay, because in a mitzvah, you say, Asher kidshanu mitzvos v'tzivanu leh. Okay, who sanctified us through the mitzvos and commanded us in milah to do milah, or commanded us to do milah. So is the shevach on the institution of milah? And look, there are a lot of mitzvos. One mitzvah is milah. You give a shevach on the institution of milah. God gave us milah. Give a shevach on the institution of lulav. Give a shevach on the institution. Shevach is on this institution which God gave us. That's one way. Or do you say shevach is on the kedusha, the perfection, the sanctification of our lives, which the mitzvot affords us? So it's not just on the institution in the abstract, as like a construct which God gave us, but it's on the impact, asher kedushanu b'mitzvot, of the kedusha which the mitzvot bring us. So if you say the mitzvot on the institution itself, so then when the institution itself singles you out, then you could say leh. If the institution doesn't single you out, then you say oh. Okay, so the fact that you can use a shliach or not is extraneous. In other words, if you give a shavach is on the institution, then le means the person to whom the institution was commanded. So therefore, by the father, you could say al lamal, because he was commanded, the institution of milah picked him out to do milah. The moel can't say that because it didn't pick him out. But if you say that the mitzvah, the bracha, is not just on the institution itself, but incorporates how the institution affects us, as mekadesh us, how it brings us to perfection. So then the mitzvahs, a mitzvah which allows for shlech or doesn't allow for shlech, are two different types of kedusha, two different types of perfection. One of them is a halacha, a mitzvah you must be involved in this action, and there's a perfection of the involvement of your energies in this action itself. And the other is a different type of perfection, which is that you have a responsibility which is placed upon you to make sure that it gets done. And that could be through you doing it or through someone else doing it. But it's a different type of a kedusha, a different type of an involvement of the person. So if you say that the shevach should reflect the nature of the kedusha of the mitzvah, so then you don't just go by the abstract institution, but how that institution fits into the halachic system at large. And if shlichus is possible, then your shevach should reflect that. You should say, ah, which shows that the nature of the kedusha of this mitzvah is not one where I must act, but is when I'm commanded in this institution, I am obligated to this institution to make sure that it gets taken care of. As opposed to a bracha where you must do it yourself, you should say leh, to show that the kedusha here is that I was commanded to do this action. But again, that's the premise, that you're saying that the bracha should include shevach about the kedusha of the mitzvah. But you say just shevach on the institution itself, so then just as long as you were primarily given this institution, then you're going to say leh. Yeah.
So this seems to be assuming that the different ways that the chiyuv is formulated is only a like changing factor in the practical way that it's mekadesh and not in the mitzvah itself.
Correct.
Well, why is that necessarily true? Maybe the way the chiyuv is formulated is a different. It is a different kind of mitzvah. Why is the institution side of things not affected by?
Right. Give me a second.
Have to do with the fact that I'm not entirely clear on what the institute is. What's the mitzvah if not for shit to make up?
please hit the mute? I'm assuming, yeah, Chaim's pointing, I'm assuming that the institution itself is the same, whether or not you could use a shliach. So I think the sense of that, I mean, I forgot how exactly we learned this sugya previously, because we did this stuff of the shlichus, when you say you can use a shliach, when you can't. But the way I'm assuming now is that the general principle is you can use a shliach unless it's a mitzvah shavagufa, mitzvah to your body. See, because the idea of shlucha, my premise is really shlichus always works. You could always say that if you do it, you could always say your shliach's action is like you did it. Luckily, that works. It's like you did it. But the problem is, if like the mitzvah, let's say to eat matzah, so matzah is like an action to your body. Whereas if it's an action which is bringing something about, so if he brings it about, it's like you brought it about. But the action of eating matzah is a mitzvah which involves your body. It's like you're putting matzah in your stomach. So you can't have someone else do that for you. It's not just, they can't transfer it to you. I mean, as opposed to like a mitzvah, which is to do something in the world or whatever. So then you say, look, if he did it, it's as if I did it. You know, so that's attributable to me. So now you're saying, so is that a different type of an institution?
It is to a certain level, because okay. There are mitzvahs where you're going to say, ah.
No, but I'm just saying, because
there's a certain extreme where everyone agrees you're going to ah, even the institution.
Like, but
aren't there?
Well, that's only because of different reasons. Reasons because it's the past, or you know what I mean, like those.
So, to the institution guy, all mitzvos deserve a lift.
All mitzvos deserve a lift. If you were commanded.
Radical.
If you were commanded. If you personally were commanded. Yeah. Yeah. You wouldn't be passing an al, so then it's going to go through the al guy. But in theory, yeah, you'd have much more lift according to that. You'd have much more lift. But what I'm saying is that the difference is, you know, what I'm saying is because that if, in terms of, it is different insofar as the way the mitzvah affects you, it is different. Because in one of them you are commanded to do something to your body, or in the other one you're just commanded in the responsibility, in some external, something in the world, to bring about an effect in the world. So insofar as the kedusha of the mitzvah, it is different. But the other way is that you're really just giving shevach on the fact that God commanded us and sits us. And if God commanded you, then you say, leh. And if God didn't command you, then you say, al. So it's not like you're not going into the particulars of the mitzvah. The idea of le versus al is that if the mitzvah was nimsar, it was given over to you, then you could say le, and you say, God, you commanded us to do milah. That's what it means, that you commanded me, that you gave me a chiv to do milah. And the shevach of le is whenever you are a recipient of this institution, so you give shevach on the institution. You don't go into the particulars of the... Shevach isn't on the particulars of the institution and how the institution affects me. It's shevach on the institution. The only difference in al and le is if you, the institution is given to you, you're commanded in it, so then you could say, commanded us to do milah. If you weren't, then you just have to say, you really weren't commanded. You just happen to be partaking of an institution that it's out there. I mean, so then you say, ah. But the shevach doesn't go into the particulars of the institution. It's just shevach on the institution itself. Whereas the other guy saying, no, the shevach actually goes into the nature of the institution. And I'm saying, what I mean by the nature is the way the mitzvah affects you, which is the kedusha of the mitzvah. That's the halach, like, you know, that's where you see in the bracha place to say that it goes into the particulars of the institution. Because you see kedushana mitzvah. So it sounds like kedushana is different. It's different kedushana. Different kedusha from the mitzvah. Yeah.
The bracha is a mitzvah. It's not as though that you commanded to see that it's done personally.
Let's hold off on it. It's a good question. I mean, the Rishonim all get into all the different bracha. I don't know every single one, but
no, that's the one that came to
mind. No, I understand. I understand, but I still think it's like let's go by their cue and take their what they explain it. You know, okay. But I mean, you're right. There are a lot of questions. There are 20, 30 some odd brachas you can come up with. So let's just see what they, you know, how they let it go. It's a good question, yeah.
And the way you're saying that the first step was arbitrary, meaning full, right. Like the conceptual doubt,
right.
And like, that's not because you're just going to go out with one or the other. So why is your the next step? I see how it, I mean, it's further. It's like not a different idea because, like you said, the better one. But how's that any less arbitrary? It's still like, why would you say
right. But certain by that measure, you can never see it. You never say it. There's never. I mean, there's always arbitrary.
Oh, so what do you mean by the
no, but I'll say the difference between the first step and the second step is the first step is you're saying is that does le means when you're commanded. Do you go by your commanded in terms of institution, or does it go by practically your commanded?
Right.
But it's just like, what's that about? What's that? Just okay, two ways to say commanded. What does commanded mean? And what is that? It's just not enlightening. What's that a question about? But here you're saying it's a question about Shabbat. You're getting down to the nature of the institution. You're saying it's Shabbat about the mitzvah. And you're saying, is the Shabbat, how particular is the Shabbat? Or what role does the, when you say Hashem Kedushanu Mitzvot Sivonu, that you're definitely mentioning Kedusha and the Bracha, how particular does the Shabbat, how particular does the Shabbat of the institution get? And so when you're giving Shabbat about the mitzvah, are you going into the particulars of the Kedusha of the mitzvah? Because you're saying Kedusha also, so the Shabbat actually, you know, differentiates between the nature of the Kedusha and the mitzvah? Or do you say, no, that it's really just Shabbat about the institution? And yeah, Kedusha, you're mentioning because the Brach mitzvahs give us Kedusha and they help, but you know, that the Shabbat doesn't get into that. So now the question is, insofar as the definition, the Svara now is it within the framework of what the Shabbat is, and now, with all of the institution is, and now your mind, this is something which you could see Amoraim arguing about. As now you kind of feel like you're not just about, is it the chiyuv in terms of the mitzvah, or chiyuv in terms of the, you know, in terms of the system. But it's like, what about chiyuv? What's this a question about? So you get insight into the area that it's in, as opposed to just being like in a definition, you're kind of just like giving the categories almost. It's like chafza gabra would be like a definition, you know? Is it din in the chafza or is it din in the gabra, you know? So that could be a good definition. But it's, what's, why would I use this category? What framework would cause me to use, what about this institution would cause me to use this category, use me in that category? So now once you specify, oh, we're talking about Shavach, and in Shavach we're about the Brat Mitzvah. The Mitzvah is Kedusha. Different Mitzvahs are differentiated based upon their Kedusha, yet they still are the Tzivah was given to you. So do you get into that degree of particularity? That's always a question of Bracha, right? That was like, it's always a question of how particular any Brachas do you get, right? That was like the question of Bri Priyates. You don't say Bri Priyat bananas and apples, you know? So it's a question in particular, you know, in Brachas of how particular you get. Because is that, I mean, that, whether that question, I'm sure you maybe go further in, but I feel that's already getting more, you know, more speculative as to, you know. Yeah.
But it sounds like you're not necessarily answering, like, why you would say one or the other.
Right.
It sounds like you're just contextualizing the definition.
Right. Well, the thing is that why you say one or the other, I think is ultimately you have to ask them. And I don't think you can ultimately say that, because it's based on their intuition in the area. But I think that you could paint it in a way where you could see it being an intuitive question. Once you give the context and the area and you could see where the question lies, so now you can see an intuition, someone who knows about brachas and knows about, studies brachas and how particular brachas usually are and how what shevach of brachas entails, so you can intuit, see how they can intuit that you would or wouldn't include this. I mean, whereas the other way, if you just leave it as, does lim means you're the commander in terms of the tzivoy, commander in terms of the, you know, in terms of the practicality, like what's, how do you intuit that? It's just like a random category, is it this category or is it that category? But it's not something which you could imagine someone even having intuition about. I mean, so I think that's what it's for. I mean, it's subtle, these things are always subtle. I mean, it's not a simple formula when, you know, but that's the way I see it, is when, is this something I could see being like an intuitive, like could you see going either way? And if you'd feel like, how would I ever do that? It's just two random definitions without any direction as to where you know why you'd say this or that. Then I feel, you know, then you're missing something. You know, it's not enlightening. It's not nothing. It's a good first step, but you know, like I don't know what Rebbe's talking about. Like the difference. I guess you call it the what or the why. You know, like I guess the what is just like the pure definition. You know, and the why is where you're giving some insight into the thing. I think he said like, a good what, like, should give you some insight into the why. So it's like, it's a good, so if you're just giving pure what, like, you can say a lot of, that's his point, you can say a lot of definitions. You can just say, oh, this is a din in the gabra. Okay, how does that make sense insofar as it's like, why, you can't just, not any, when you see halacha, not any construct could work anywhere. You can't just say, oh, yeah, it's halacha like this, and it's halacha, you just throw in random terms, but some of the term just isn't satisfying. It's just your mind doesn't, so it has to give you, a good definition should give you, that's what he said, it should give you like some inclination or some sense of the why. Like your mind should have a certain, that makes sense, yeah, I can see that. You know, but to get ultimately why did Rav Papi say this and ultimately said Rav Papi, what the arguments that they gave to favor this is favor that, then I don't know, you know, that's not, I think that's too much, that's too speculative, you know, you can't get into that. But to at least paint the area and to see that as being a question which your intuition could, you know, could pass judgment upon, that's I think where it would be nice if you could get. You can't always get it. I mean, sometimes, you know, you gotta be satisfied with what you get. And you know, I don't think here it's too far of a leap though. Because the definition put us into the framework of the mitzvah itself, or the practical how the mitzvah affects us. So then, you know, that just the only movement, and that's the kedusha of the mitzvah. How the mitzvah affects you is the kedusha, and then you're saying in the text of the bracha itself, "Shek kedushanu mitzvoso." So it's not like a far reach to say that that's relevant, you know. Yeah, but that was Matt pointed out. It's like we didn't. That's I think the rule. I think definitions are a good first step, and I mean sometimes you skip over them, you just could jump right to the definitions. We just kind of they're giving the framework of the thing. It's more certain. Svara, which kind of follows up from it. You don't necessarily have to break them up into two steps, but sometimes it's good to. Yeah. Okay, question? Okay, so let's go further in the Ran. Okay, so the Ran. So basically, this is the Ran's theory. Okay, so the Ran's theory is that in. So basically, the Gemara concludes. Let's just say, so how does it conclude? So the conclusion is Al. Okay, Al. And what does Al mean? So Al means that you really shouldn't say Leh. You shouldn't say Leh on Bir Hametz. Because Leh means that the Kedusha of the Mitzvah, the Kedusha idea, which means is that if I was commanded to do this action, that I must actually do this action, the Kedusha of the Mitzvah, I have to do this action, then you say Leh. But if you weren't commanded to do this action, then Al is better. Because then you reflect that this is a Mitzvah which is just a goal that I accomplish. So then I want to say Al. And therefore, I should say Al. Even though Le will also imply future, but you should say Al. And this is what the Ran is trying to explain, why the Gemara says specifically Al. You should say Al, because Al will reflect the future. And Al reflects that it's not a mitzvah. The nature of the mitzvah is one, where it's just a responsibility for me to accomplish, as opposed to being like an action that I must do. Okay? And therefore, the Ran says that by Mila, the way we conclude, which is like Rav Papa, is that you should say Al no matter what. Even the father should say Al, because even though he was personally commanded, but he could just, it's just a responsibility that he must accomplish. So therefore the father, even the father should say Al. And that therein he argues with the Rambam, because the Rambam says the father says Leh. The Ran says that when the Gemara says that distinction, that's only going into Rav Papi. But we don't hold that way. The Gemara, the real conclusion is that you go by the Kedusha of the Mitzvah, and therefore by Mila, or an institution where you could use a Shliach, you say Al. That's the Ran's conclusion. Okay, but an institution where you must do it, then you say Leh. Then you must say Leh. So that's basically what it comes down to. So far, what it comes down to. If you must do it yourself, then you say Leh. If someone else could do it, you just say Al. Then you say Al.
What does that highlight? What does Al highlight according to the Ran?
Al highlights that it's that you are just commanded on the institution, which means that you have a responsibility to the institution, as opposed to that you're commanded to do X. So Mila, I have a responsibility to the institution of Mila. I don't have to do the action of cutting. I just have I'm commanded on ensuring that Mila takes place. So Al is where it's not, I must do an action. But I must do an action, lihaniach tefillin, I must do the action of putting on the tefillin, then I say Leh.
But why is that significant? Why is that significant? Just to this last week, but why is it significant that
whether you have to do it or not, in terms of
in terms of why is it significant to say Al? Why is it?
Oh, because the Shavach is reflecting the kedusha of the mitzvah, and there's two different kedushas. There's the kedusha of perfection of a mitzvah, where you must involve your energies in a certain action, and there's a perfection of a mitzvah which demands that you have a responsibility to take care of. Two different types of mitzvahs, and since this kedusha kedushanu b'mitzvosav. You're expressing the kedusha of the mitzvah, so you specify the nature of the kedusha. Is it a kedusha of an al, of a responsibility, or is it a kedusha of an action? The kinds of kedusha, so the Shavach should explain the particulars of the, you know. Yeah?
Can you repeat just that last point?
That the Shavach is, I check the Shana mitzvah, that you sanctified us, you gave us perfection through the mitzvahs, and you commanded us in doing action A, the perfection of forcing us to do an action, and you perfected us through commanding us to be responsible to bring about a certain result. Those are different types of kedusha. So since you're saying the kedusha is also, the shavach should reflect the nature of the institution, the nature of the kedusha of the institution. And there's two different types of kedushas. Okay? Okay. Yeah.
On Mila specifically, yes. Isn't there, doesn't it work that if, let's say the father's not around, the son still has to get Mila?
Yes.
Doesn't then the chiyuv fall on Beis Din, falls on like,
yes.
different people in town?
Right. Therefore, but it's still on you. I mean, it's primarily on you. It's just a second, like we did this, but at least going to the Rambam, it's just that Beis Din has to make sure that probably it's all on the father. But if the father doesn't do it, there are secondary mechayevim of other, you know.
That's a mechayev, like, you know, if the father wasn't around and someone from Beis Din was doing it, then all of a sudden on that, or is there a different?
That's a good question. I think they say, Lamalas Hagerim. If a Moel does it for a ger, I think I just forget who I saw said it. Then you say lamal sager, because everyone, the Jewish people, have to be mal ger. But here it's like on the father, you know. But maybe the father defaults. Maybe they would. I'm not sure. I mean, I guess you'd have to think about it. But in theory, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
Right. Yeah. Secondary chiyuv. Do you mean that the father defaults a new chiyuv? Made it like as in chiyuv was never on anyone else until the father defaults. Like,
yes. It's a different chiyuv. I mean, with the Kuntz Ram, it's a different chiyuv. The way we define it from the Ram is that it's halacha. The Ram says, "Al yanichu aral b'Yisrael." It's a din that they can't allow an uncircumcised guy in Klal Yisrael. So it's not directly a chiyuv to do the ma'aseh of mila. It's more of a halacha that they can't. They have to take care of the community, and if there's an aral there, they have to get rid of, you know, stop it. As opposed to the father is really the mitzvah of mila per se. You know, they must be mal this guy. That's from the Rambam. There's a machlokas Rambam. Maybe we'll get back to that at some point. Okay. So now, so this is the Rambam's theory. Again, so far the theory consists of one point, is that if you are personally commanded, you must do the action, you say leh. If you can use a shliach, then you say ah. So then he says, okay, so he says ulastika. Okay, so this is on the very bottom line, on the Gimel and Beis. And the Daf Eref, he says, "Lefikach hanu mevarchin betfilin betzitzis yeshiva besukkah." So the Lamed, right? So tefillin, tzitzis, and sukkah, you must do yourself. So you say leh, right? Okay. Ubiur chametz umila ushchita be'al. So right. So biur chametz, you can use a shliach. Mila, you can use a shliach. Shchita, slaughtering an animal, you can use a shliach. So if we say al, fine. So now is where he's going to start going into all the different cases. Okay. So then he says, "V'hainu d'tani b'tosafta b'shelim mechilton." This is a Tosefta, as the Tanakh source says, Ezu Birchas HaPesach, Asherki the Shomus Vanu Lechol HaPesach. Right? You say Lechol HaPesach. Ezu Birchas Zevach, Lechol HaZevach. Right? To eat. So that's good with his theory, right? Because his theory is, Lamed is when you have to do it, and you do have to do it. Right? As opposed to, now I think he's mentioned this, because remember Rashi's theory, Rashi didn't have this. Rashi just said that really you could say Al or Le. Right, remember, according to Rashi, the only question was future. Was future or past? The Gemara concludes Al. The Gemara Al. The only issue was is if it's Al works really. According to Rashi, Al worked as long as, because Al implies the future also. You can use context. Remember, that was a simple way to learn. You can use context, and the Rashi says really you can use Al or Le. The Ran is introducing a new idea that you can only say Le if you were personally commanded. But according to Rashi, Al was fine. You could say Al be your chametz, or you could say Le or chametz. Either one would work. Right? Either one would work. Now, it turns out, if you look at Rashi, and this is interesting, is where it has this thing of Berchus HaZevach, Rashi, the Tosefta says, Leh. Oh, I'm sorry. So the question is, why do you say Al? Why? That was the question. So why do you say Al? Why does the Gemara say, Hilchas Al B'yachametz, you should say Al? What about, why can you say Leh also? It should be Al or Leh. So one answer was, is because you want to show that Al also works. Okay, you want to show that. Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Okay. I saw the construction. I was just wondering if the alarm got affected or not.
Oh, okay.
So I want to come in and just check to see if the alarm
okay.
worked.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
So, okay.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it says that the question was, so Rashi said really you could say Al or Le, either one. But B'yachametz, either one will work. Al or Le. But the Ravid, if you remember, said that you should say Al to show people that you're a Chacham, you know what you're doing, and that Al works. And if you look, it turns out, it's very interesting, that this thing, Berchas HaPesach and Berchas HaZevach, it's Rashi and himself, Kof Chafal, he actually has Al Achilas Pesachim, and Al Achilas Shlamim. Okay, so he does have Al by these brachas. Okay, so according to the Ran, you couldn't say Al. And that's what he's trying to show, is that you have to say Le, because you say Le when you personally are obligated. But Rashi didn't have that idea. Rashi said he could say al. He didn't care about that. And it turns out that Rashi actually has al in the by those brachas. I don't know that he does. I guess the Tosafta, he didn't have Tosafta. Argue on Tosafta, I don't know. But I don't know if he had to say al, but for whatever reason you say al by Bior, he has al over there also. So it's just interesting. Okay, fine. So now here's where it gets interesting. So now it says, V'hainu nami d'tanu perek avi psachem. Okay? So now the question is, so what would you say you should do by matzah and mara? So far, according to the Ran, what would you say by matzah and mara? What should you say? Leh, right? Okay. So let's take a look at this Gemara. I mean, we'll see what the Ran says in a second, but let's look at the Gemara. Kuvidal and Mbez. Kuvidal and Mbez. This is interesting. I think this is kind of what's interesting about the Sugya, is it's like a lot of Sugyas in one. We're going to digress, because in order to... As I mentioned before, in order to take up and what bracha you should say and give a mitzvah, you have to know a little bit about the mitzvahs. Because you have to know about al and le, and you also have to know about the mitzvahs themselves. So we're going to be digressing from point to point, from time to time. So this is a Gemara which says, is what happens, let's just reveal, at the Seder, on the Seder night, on Pesach, so you have two times you eat vegetables. Right? One time you eat vegetables is karpas, and the other time is as a mara. Okay, so karpas is just where you eat like whatever, a potato or a carrot or whatever, right? And then a karpas, that's karpas. And then for maror, you eat like a bitter vegetable, right? And that's later on. There are different parts of the Seder. Okay, so you make a hadama on the karpas, and then you make when you come to maror, which is later on in the Seder, you say alachilas maror, the bracha of alachilas maror, they call shekel shem tzvanu, whatever, leachol maror, alachilas maror, whatever. But that's the brachas of mitzvah. Okay. Now the question is, the Gemara is the case. Let's say you don't have two vegetables. The only vegetable you have is romaine lettuce. Let's say is mara. So now what do you do? Right. So why? See, the mitzvah of mara is supposed to be later. The mitzvah of mara is supposed to be later after the matzah, whatever. It's supposed to be later on. Okay. So the problem is, what are you going to do? So when it comes to karpas, what are you going to do? You're going to eat your mara. So now you're going to have a problem, because you're already going to be able to do your mitzvah mara early on. So a simple solution is to have in mind that you're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. You're not doing it for mara, right? You can have like negative kavana, like we talked about. So you just do it, you eat it, but you have in mind that you're not filling the mitzvah mara. So fine, you do that, and then you end up doing the mara later for the mitzvah. So let me ask you, when would you say the bracha on mara? When would you say the bracha on mara? The bracha on mara in such an instance. Second time you'd say, obviously, right? Okay. So let's see here. So not so simple. It's machalakas. Okay? So it works like this. Pshita, six lines from the bottom. Kuf yudalit amabez, msachem. Okay? So it says, Pshita ichadi ikashar yarakos. If you have different vegetables, let's say carrots, mevorach ashar yarakos bar vedam. You say hadama on the carrots, v'achil, v'hadu baruch alachil smara, v'achil, and then later you make alachil smara and you eat it. Notice it says al achilas mara, right? Al achilas mara. Oh, I think the Ran may have had left. Okay, fine. Al achilas mara v'atol. Heichad alaka alachas amai. What about if you only have this like mara? Okay, I forgot exactly what vegetable achas is, but it's mara. Okay. Amar ahuna mevarach meikara amara bar piyadama. So first you eat the mara and you say bar piyadama v'achel, right? But you're not doing it for the purpose of the mitzvah. Right? V'l'v'sof m'varach le'a al-chias mara v'achal. In the end, you make the bracha al-chias mara, and you eat. Simple. Right? Okay. Right. Fine. Simple, right? No problem. Maskif l'Rav Chista. Rav Chista asks, la'achar shemila kreso emen achozer m'varach le'a? After you fill your stomach up with this maror at karpas time, you're going to then make a bracha of al-chias mara later? How could you do that? How could you say the bracha of al-chias mara this whole time? You or at karpas, you already ate the mara. So you're not going to say al-chias mara then, and then you're going to make the bracha of al-chias mara later? That makes sense? Question. Right, exactly. What's his problem? Obviously, you the first time you were doing it, you were having kavana that you weren't doing for the mitzvah. So what's he bothered by? After you fill your belly with the maror, how are you going to say the bracha? Who cares? Fill your belly. It sounds like it's very, like trying to paint a picture, some sort of imagery. Like, after I stuffed my belly with maror, now I'm going to say, first of all, you don't eat that much. It's a whole question whether you eat a kazayas or you eat less than a kazayas. So it's not like you're stuffed with maror, you know? Like, what's he, and who cares? So I stuffed my belly. But did I do the mitzvah? Did I not do the mitzvah? I didn't do the mitzvah. since I didn't do the mitzvah, so who cares? What's the problem, right? What's the problem? So what does he say? So rather, he says, Hela, Amar of Chista, Meikar Mevarach Le Barpi Adam Avalchias Mara. The first time you make the Barach Le Barpi Adam and the Mara, both Brachas, V'achel, U'b'sof, Achachas Chasi, below Bracha, and then at the end, you eat the Mara without a Bracha. So the Bracha, V'asher Yisrael, Achachas Mara, you make the first time, even though it's not really the mitzvah. Even though it's not really the mitzvah. Look at Tosos. Tosos explains it a little bit, but it's very difficult. Okay, this is a difficult Gemara. Okay, so Rav Chista Nami Nira, the Stavar Kerish Lakish to buy Kavana. So Rav Chista also holds you need Kavana. Right? So, because if he held that you don't need Kavana, by the way, you can either say negative Kavana, or you could just say, if you hold in general that you need Kavana, so then you're not going to be filled the mitzvah because you didn't have Kavana to do it the first time. You know what I mean? Either way, it means you're only doing the mitzvah the second time, not the first time. If you hold you don't need kavana in general, so then you have negative kavana. But if you hold you always need kavana, so just the first time you don't have kavana, you don't have intent, you're doing it for the mitzvah of Mara, and then it won't work. Fine. So Rav Chista also holds that. Because if you said Rav Chista holds you don't need kavana, then maybe you'd say the reason why Rav Chista is saying that you have to make the bracha the first time is because you don't need kavana, so you're going to fulfill the mitzvah the first time. But he said, don't think that. Rav Chista also holds you need kavana, and he also holds that you're not going to have kavana the first time. Afal pikein savar, okay, de ein nachon levarach v'tibol sheni. It's not proper, okay, ein nachon. It's not correct. It's not proper to make the bracha the second time. Human shekvar mila kreso, since you already filled your belly with it. So he agrees you're not going to fill it the first. You're not going to do the mitzvah the first time. It's not going to count the first time because you don't have intent. But still, it's not proper to say the bracha the first time since you already filled your belly with it. Not proper is a very funny type of a way to talk. You know, he's trying to explain, you know, this thing, and it's a rhetorical thing, and he's not really helping much, you know? Fine. The east of our ancient Kavanah, because if he held that really you don't even need Kavanah, I'd be the then Afik B'Tibul Rishon. Because if he held that really the first time you are doing the mitzvah, don't say that how can you make the bracha after you filled your belly? The first time you already fulfilled the mitzvah, 100%. And now the second time, if you can make the bracha, it's going to be a bracha levatala. You're just saying a bracha where there's absolutely no room for a bracha. So he's saying, so you must say that even according to Rav Chista, you haven't actually fulfilled the mitzvah the first time. And therefore, in theory, you could say the bracha the second time, because that's really when you're doing the mitzvah. It's just not proper. It's not proper to say it the second time. It's more proper to say it the first time. Okay, so maybe he'll say. He says, "Lot sarachler chista ladura yashayaki mvarachler chista." I'm sorry. Then you don't have to go try to get other vegetables. A different point. Mvarachler chista v'tibul rishon al chilas mar. So you make the bracha on the first time. Afagav the ikar mitzvah mar lo nafigel v'tibul sheni. Achar matzah. Even though the ikar mitzvah of, now he's talking funny again. Even though the ikar, the essential mitzvah of marar, you don't fulfill until later, until the second one. Still, Moelas Abrach Shabir, Chetibul Rishon, Chetibul Sheni. Still, the bracha you made the first time counts for the second time, right? Because you may say, look, you made it the first time, but the second one is the mitzvah, is the real mitzvah, so you shouldn't make a bracha again. He says, no. Since even though you didn't do the essence of the mitzvah is later, still the bracha you made the first time will count for later. Will count for later. Okay. Since you did a little bit, you ate a little bit the first time. And he says it's the same thing like by shofar. Because he says, the real bracha, when do we make shofar, the bracha of shofar? You make it when you blow shofar before davening, before Shemona Esrei, right? Before Musaf. You make the, you know. But he says the real mitzvah of shofar is later. It's during Shemona Esrei. He says, but you see, you make the bracha on the first one, and it counts for the later ones, even though the real mitzvah was later. So he says that you could do that. Even though, in other words, if you have two stages in a mitzvah, stage one is not really the real deal, the second one is the real deal. If you make the bracha on the first stage one, it counts on stage two as well, on the real deal. Okay, so you may have thought it does, and he says it does. Okay.
What's your kavanah
on? On the second one.
Holy now, but do you need to say not the first?
Oh, well, that depends if you hold kavana or not kavana. You mean by shofar?
Yeah, according.
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's different by shofar. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's holding. Yeah, the real mitzvah should be for them. But by mara, definitely. I mean, that's another. What's he mean? If he's saying is you don't have kavana again, he's saying is Rav Chista, you need kavana. Okay, so just forget negative kavana. According to Rav Chista, according to everybody here, you need to have kavana. First one, you're not having intent to do the mitzvah mara. just doing karpas. He's not doing mitzvah mar. So what does he mean that even though the second one is the ikar, the essential mitzvah mar? What do you mean the essential? The second one is the mitzvah mar. The first one is nothing. You know, it's the same kind of question. And what's the big deal? Why can you? He says he can't make the bracha on the second one because after you just filled your belly with a mar. Mar isn't a vegetable. Mar is a halachic chafetz shel mitzvah. So when you filled your belly with it, that's not mar. That's not the bracha. Because it's very nice. You just ate romaine lettuce, but you didn't eat mar. Mar is a mitzvah. So who cares that you just filled your belly with it? But it was a mitzvah. And when it comes time to do the mitzvah, so then you do the mitzvah. So then you should make the bracha then. That's Rav Huna's argument. Rav Huna just holds simple. That the first one was not mitzvah altogether. The second one was mitzvah. So you make the bracha the second time. Rav Chisda is arguing, no, you can't do that. You can't make the bracha the second time. You can't fill your belly with it and then make the bracha. So therefore you have to make the bracha the first time. But the bracha the first time will count for the second time. Okay? So what's the going on here? What's Rav Chisda's position? Yeah.
So you asked Rav Chisda that how does his problem with the stuff in your belly isn't solved by a solution because it's all filling yourself with whatever whatever that means to fill yourself with maror.
Right.
But okay, so you said the bracha, but then by the time the mitzvah comes, you're still
right. It's true. So the answer is still according to Rav Chisda, you're filling your belly with the maror, and then when you do the mitzvah, you're already full with it. So apparently his problem isn't about doing the mitzvah. His problem is the bracha
right.
for some reason. He says. It's true, you can fill your belly with it, that's fine. But don't make the bracha. The bracha can't be when your belly's full with it. Okay, so this is one question. I think, let's see how the Ron uses this. But this is, I think in order to, the Ron's going to bring this command, we have to understand this command in order to do the Ron. But let's see how the Ron uses it, and we'll leave these to think about until tomorrow. But let's see the Ron, because the Ron's important. The Ron had a different girsa than we did, I think. Maybe you look at it back again, but I didn't notice it now. But let's see how the Ron uses it. So the Ron says he brings this command. Then he says, "V'hainu tana paragavei psachem." Pshita, this is on Dalman off the first white line, the first line. Pshita eichad achol shayyakim v'ach berpi adama v'achol uchimad lechazaras v'ach leachol mara. Okay, so first of all, he says leachol. So basically, you'll see is that according to his Gemara, usually it says leachol. Because remember, we said according to the Ran, in general, you should say la because mara is something that you have to do. You personally have to do, right? So you should say le. So he said, and he does. In the regular case, he says that his Gemara, his text said le, lechomar. Hechad leka shayarki mai. Amar avunim varach meikar rabbi adam avachel. Uvsof varach al achilas mara. Okay, you see al there? He says, so according to Rav Huna, what you do is first you eat the. Again, Rav Huna says first you eat the karpas, you don't make a bracha, and then you make a bracha at the end. And what bracha? Al. See his text, the Gemara just flipped back. Within when it goes into Rav Huna, it flipped back. And then Rakshinan Lalachish Mekresa Mvarchaleha, Elamar of Chista Mvarchala Mekab Repetama Vilechal Marar. See, then again it went back to La. Vachal. You see, so if you notice in the way his text is, there's three times the Gemara said the Bracha. One time it said La, the other time it said Al, and the next time it said La. So that's pretty strange. But he's going to show his theory explains it. Okay? And I'll go over the particulars in a second. So the Amar Bekul Lechal. With the Rav Huna Al, you see, and the only one it said Al, really it said Le always. Because he's saying Le is really the right bracha for Mark, because you're a Chayev. The only time it said Al is by Rav Huna. Okay, and Rav Huna was the one who made the bracha on the second time. Okay, on the second time. Why? He's trying to, the Chalecha de Achale, the Lo Taim Mine Klum, if you eat it and that's the first thing you eat, okay, you didn't eat any Mara yet before, then definitely you say Le. Okay, Mevarach Le Achol Kashar Kol Mitzvah Shia Shili Patrim Ha De Acher. Because you have to do it personally yourself, so you say le. Because you're doing it before the mitzvah, right? Before the mitzvah, and you say le. You were personally commanded. But according to Huna, you're making it the second time where you already ate maror the first time. Even though you didn't do it for the mitzvah of maror, you're just looking for your karpas. Kimevorech la'achar mitzvah. Is like you are making the bracha after the mitzvah. Okay? Because that's what Gemara says, that if you do the bracha after the mitzvah, then it's not before they have to say al, because le implies the future, al implies the past. So he's saying is that since you already ate some marar the first time, even though it wasn't the mitzvah, since you already ate marar the first time, so when you say the bracha on the second time, so then you have to say al, because it's going back on the past. You know what I'm saying? It's going back on the past. Okay? Yeah, but that's the problem, is that was Rav Chisda's argument. Rav Chisda's argument was that how could you not say the bracha the first time, because the first time you're filling your belly with it. So therefore, the first time you have to say the bracha. But Rav Huna said, I don't care the first time, because the first time wasn't for the mitzvah. The first time was just eating horseradish, eating romaine lettuce. So he, Rav Chisda's whole point, Rav Huna's whole point was that no, that I don't care, you make the bracha the second time, because that's really the mitzvah. So then who cares that, you know, he's going back into Rav Chisda's world, who cares that the first time, that you already ate maror beforehand, that wasn't eating a mitzvah. So it's like he's like contradicting himself. Within Rav Huna's thing, he says, no, you can't say leh because you already ate maror before. But if you already ate maror before, then you should have said the bracha before. That was Rav Huna's whole point, is that you didn't say the bracha before because that before wasn't for the purpose of the mitzvah. That was just eating horseradish or whatever. So you're making it the second time according to Rav Huna because that's really the mitzvah one. So now the text of the bracha should reflect the future, right? Before you did the second time, you should say leh. Right, because it's the future, but he doesn't say that. He says no. You say past, because since you filled your belly with it already, so you have to reflect back on the past. So that's a problem. I mean, this is a big problem. It sounds like even if we get through the problems in the Gemara and Pesachim, this is like it sounds like he's throwing Rav Huna back into Rav Chisda's world. So that's that would be nice if we could explain. I mean, I don't think we're ready to answer this question yet because we have to. I think you should try to understand the question, but I don't think we're ready to answer it until we define the Gemara there. Because how are you going to get into answering this thing if you don't even know where Chisda and Rav Huna? I mean, he's trying to show you how within Rav Huna. I mean, if you don't have, that's why I think you have to do. That's why this Ron is like that. I mean, if you don't look at these other Gemaras, I don't think you can really do these things. But the question is, so hopefully we'll take that up.
How could he think that Rav Huna is saying you should say the bracha before you do the mitzvah, which is the
second time? Second time, right.
How could he, what basically did he say Rav Huna hold this?
He says it, look at the Gersa. Gersa is all. Here's the second time. I mean, the Ron thinks he's not bothered by this problem altogether. He thinks his theory solves this great problem. Because it says leh, then al, then leh. So he says, because really the bracha of Mara is leh, because you are personally commanded. And the only problem, the thing is that when it's passed, then you have to say al, and within Ravuna it's passed. So it's like he beautifully solves that why the Gemara keeps changing back and forth. The only problem is that it sounds like according to Ravuna, it's not passed. According to Ravuna, the first one is nothing. So it's a problem. So he's getting it from the Gemara, which the text of his Gemara said all there. But he's not saying, he doesn't sound like he's forced into it. He sounds like he thinks it makes beautiful sense. But what we're saying is it doesn't make sense. It's against the opposite of what Rav Huna's whole position is. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, we're taking Rav Huna's words and we're making that's the essence he's taking of the fact that he says all.
Correct. I mean, correct. But I mean, presumably he liked the idea also. You know, I mean, he doesn't seem to even bother by it. I think we're just missing we're missing his point. Right.
How does a Gersa change like that happen in the Gemara? Because the whole Gemara is about Al and Leah.
Well, not that Gemara. The Gemara itself isn't about Al and Leah. It's about other stuff. So. Yeah. I mean, ours had what? Ours had Al all along, I think, right? It's funny that he's bringing the proof from the thing there, but our Gemara had all the whole way through. Right, I think so. Yeah, I mean, our Gemara had all the way through. Al. By the way, I mean, you could say, I mean, this is something which is, I mean, the Rambam has this also. You could argue, I don't know if I would want to argue this, but sometimes Al Achilas Marar is not, it could mean quotes. Al Achilas Marar, or it could mean you make the bracha on. Al means on Achilas Marar, but it's not telling you what quote. I mean, it would be le, it could be al. It doesn't. Al could be the le. Definitely is a quote, but al you could. So that's how you explain the Gersa, is that Ron's Gersa said it said the exact quote, but our Gemara, whatever, different Gersa just was telling you the bracha on Marar, whatever the bracha is. You don't know what the bracha is. You study on study the sugya on how bracha make a Marar. So I'm just saying is al is not. You don't have to say that Gersa's arguing. Now, but perhaps you would say that. I'm saying it's possible. There are certain Rambams where brachos which he clearly holds you say leh, but then he says al. I think that's the way you have to say it. The Chetzim Mishnah says it. Well, when you get to the Rambam, we'll say. But I think he says that. He doesn't mean he's not quoting al. He just means the bracha on. So that's a little bit of a tricky part about it. But again, so let's again. I think this question, this Rav Chisda, I think, is one of these problems that bothered me for years. It's like as you always see it. It's like if you do Pesachim, if you learn Pesachim every year Pesach, like you just encounter that thing, But that question of Lachash Mila Kresim, after you fill your belly with it, how could you make a bracha? I mean, it's just a very bothersome question. It just sounds like he just doesn't get halacha. It's just not the halacha works. after you filled your belly with it, how can you say the bracha? It's like, you know, it just sounds like, you know, someone doesn't know about halacha, ask that kind of question. What do you mean? Weren't you just eating this horseradish the whole time? Now you can make the bracha? So, yeah, but don't you realize this thing called kavanah and this thing called a mitzvah, and it's not just horseradish, it's a mitzvah. And that wasn't the mitzvah. So, what's the ruchis's problem is hard to understand. That's the first problem, and then what Ravuna is, how the Ron learns Ravuna. Okay, so hopefully we'll do the stuff tomorrow. Tomorrow's Zoldan's wedding, right? Is anyone going? I don't know if you guys going. But what time is it? What time is it at? I don't know. Huh?
I mean, like at 6:30.
So, I guess we'll just assume. I think I'm going, but I'm probably going to go later. But I'll send out an email if not. If we cancel, I'll send an email. But it should be okay. Tomorrow night, I'm not going to be able to give a share. Tomorrow night, I'm not going to give a share. Wedding, yeah.
You also
should
write your spam, maybe.
Oh, really?
Your spam.
I deleted it, yeah. But,
just daniel.calvin. I'll try again.
So at Gmail?
Daniel.calvin.
D-A-N-I-E-L. .calvin. K-A-W-E-B-L-U-M?
Yeah.
That's at Gmail.
Yeah.
Okay, you sent me an email, right, Dr. J? You sent me an email?
Yeah, I'll call you in 2 minutes. I just got to go to the bathroom, right?